Now let's turn to the passage we've been looking at for the past few weeks, the parable of the prodigal son in Luke chapter 15. And we've analysed it in some depth. I've still got a few more times of reflecting on its message yet. But let's come back to Luke 15 and verse 11. That's how the parable begins. Jesus continued, "There was a man who had two sons." And the parable is about the two sons. The younger who squanders his father's property in wild living and then comes back repentant and sorry and receives a wonderful welcome. And the older brother resents that welcome so much. And the question is left at the end of the parable, well, will the elder brother be reconciled to his younger sibling and to his father? A man who had two sons. We spent the last three messages looking at those two sons and analysing their character. We saw the younger brother. We saw him as a man who wanted freedom, but he didn't want responsibility. He wanted to live on the benefits that other people had worked for, and he didn't want to listen to the voice of reason. And then we saw the older brother, a man devoted to justice and duty, a man with high standards, a man proud of himself and resentful of others who he thought were getting handouts. The question I want to think about today, well, one of the questions, the main question is, which one are you? Are you the older brother? Or are you the older, or are you the younger brother? Or the older sister? Or the younger sister? Which are you? You might say to me, Roddy, I don't have to be either of them really, do I? Well, actually, human nature says yes. Human nature says there really is only, really are only two kinds of character. In temperament, according to your genes, you may incline to be more like the older brother or more like the younger brother, or you may have a bit of both, but really you can't avoid having one or other character dominant in you. Of course, some people will swing from being like the younger brother to being like the older brother or vice versa. Some people, of course, swing from morality and uprightness into recklessness and then back again. Many religious people are like this. Even cardinals, we've heard about recently, their secret lives are quite in contradiction to their public moral stance and religious behaviour. And it's often in police internet sting operations that religious people are caught, who are living double lives. On the outside, their older brothers, moral and just and upright. On the inside, privately, their younger brothers, reckless. Sometimes it's the other way about. Some people dramatically reverse. Like, you may have someone who's a very austere religious person, and they just collapse completely into an alternative lifestyle of adultery, perhaps, or drunkenness or whatever. Or you may get someone who goes the other direction. They're more like the younger brother, and they're living reckless and debauched lives, and then they come to their senses and they become pillars in AA or something like that. Very, very strong and moral. But you see, all the time, it's a play between the two characters. The character of the older brother, the upright, the moral, the just, with standards. And the character of the younger brother, the one who lets things go. And the reason for that is because of human nature. Our human nature is addictive. And it's addicted to sin. Jesus said anyone who sins is a slave of sin. And so we might be able to stay away from the slavery, and so we'll be very moral and strict about our lives and be proud of it. we manage not to be like those people who let things go. Or we might slide into sin and immorality like the younger brother. But we either, one way or another, end up looking like older brothers or like younger brothers. That's true in the church, and it's true outside of the church as well. And it's, you see, as people get older, they either go to ruin morally, or you see them becoming more and more proud of their position and who they are and what they're like and what they think. Moral older brothers or reckless younger brothers. And human nature determines them. There isn't any other way for people to be with human nature. That's why both brothers in the parable are so familiar to us. Because we recognize them not only in other people, we recognize them in ourselves. And sometimes we may say, well, I'm acting like the older brother here, or I'm acting like the younger brother. But we recognize these two characters very, very clearly. Now, the problem is that if these are the only two options, then the ultimate result will always be that we'll be far from God, because both brothers are. The younger brother, he goes far away from the God figure in the parable, from the father, to the far country. And when he does come back, he says, I'm not worthy to be called your son, Father. He's alienated from his father. But so is the older brother. The older brother stayed outside and he refused to go in to the celebration. He too is alienated. Neither way finds God. The way of the younger brother, of self-discovery, seeking happiness by living as you please, that doesn't find God, it's alienated. The way of moral conformity, the way of the older brother, being obedient, keeping to the traditions of the community and so on, that doesn't find God either. The reality is that both ways, although they look really different, the older brother and the younger, they're actually very, very similar. Both men delight in their own goals. They serve their own freedoms, their own rewards, not their father. They don't serve their father. They serve their own goals. Both men want what their father has. They don't want their father. They want their father's goods. Both put themselves above their father, try and determine their lives without reference to him, displace his authority. Both want to be the final judge of right and wrong, the final judge of who should get the inheritance or who should get forgiven. Both think the other is wrong. The younger brother says, oh, you know, it's these older brother types. They're the problem in the world. Those who think they have the truth, they're the ones that are the real problem. And the older brothers look down on the younger brothers and say, it's these guys that want to do their own thing. They're the problem in the world. And both of them end up being Pharisaical. The older brother looks down on the younger brother. It's terrible the way he behaves. Tut, tut. But the younger brother looks down on the older brother. He thinks, you know, it's poor little stuffy older brother. I'm the liberal guy. I'm the one with that exercises my rights and my freedoms. And he looks down on the poor little benighted older brother. Both are Pharisees. Both are alienated from their father. Both resent him. The younger brother just wants to get away from his father. The older brother won't celebrate his father's mercy. Both have strategies to avoid their father. With one, it's escape. With the other, it's obedience. Do you know it's like this? Some people avoid God by sinning and getting away from him that way. Some people try to avoid God by being moral and upright. One writer I was reading on this, Tim Keller, he quotes an American writer, the writer Flannery O'Connor, and one of her characters says, had a deep, black, wordless conviction in him that the way to avoid Jesus was to avoid sin. You think about that. The way to avoid Jesus was to avoid sin. Go to church, be good, and then you don't have to have Jesus because you think you're good enough as you are. So both, one One tries to be satisfied by sinning, the other tries to be satisfied by being good. But neither seek to be satisfied in being the sons of a good father. Both are in rebellion. Neither obey, neither honour their father and mother. Both are wrong, both are lost. The lost boys. What this parable then is showing us is that human nature is doomed in terms of its ability to get into a good relationship with the perfect Father. By nature, we will always be about ourselves. Even when we're serving other people, even when we're doing good, we will always be about ourselves. We will always be trying strategies to avoid the perfect Father, like the older brother or the younger brother. That's human nature. Neither son knows his father. Neither son is close to his father. What a tragedy. What a tragedy for humankind. That whether we choose the path of casting off restraint and living as we please, or if we choose the path of tradition and of conformity and of good behaviour, neither way will find God. We can choose the path of irreligion or the path of religion. Neither will find God. The path of immorality, the path of morality. Neither will bring us close to the perfect Father in heaven. What's the alternative? And is there one? Is there another way to live? A way that isn't the way of just rebellion and pleasing ourselves? A way that isn't a way of just trying to be moral and good and still pleasing ourselves? Is there another way? Do sons have to be like the younger brother, or like the older brother, or maybe a bit of both? Are these the only alternatives? Jesus was a son. Which was he? Was he a younger brother? No, certainly not. Was he an older brother? No. Jesus is the one telling the story, and neither the older brother nor the younger brother are clearly the way he wants people to be. So what is the alternative? Well, what about honouring the Father? What about loving the Father? What about delighting in the Father? Neither son does that. You've got the moral one. He doesn't honour his father. You've got the immoral one. You've got the one who stays at home, the one who doesn't stay at home. Neither honour their father. You've got the people outside the church. You've got the people inside the church. Doesn't mean either honour the Heavenly Father. Jesus was a son. He wasn't an older brother or a younger brother. There is another way. Let's hear some things Jesus says about himself. Most of these quotes are from the Gospel of John. Jesus says, "I work for the honour of the one who sent me. I honour my Father," he says. "I have come down from heaven not to do my will, but the will of him who sent me. My food," says Jesus, "is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work." Jesus is a son, but as a son, his motivation is to honour his Father. Is to do his Father's will. When Jesus was facing the cross, he said, "Father, if you're willing, take this cup from me. but not my will, but yours be done. Jesus honours his Father. John 5, Jesus says, I seek not to please myself, but him who sent me. John 8, he says, I always do what pleases him. I'm not pleasing myself. I'm not here either to be the good boy or to be the rebellious boy. I'm not here to think of myself as some kind of liberal that can please himself. I'm not here to think of myself as some kind of conservative that's standing for values. I'm neither, says Jesus. I'm not here to do anything for myself. I'm not here to be anything for myself. I'm here for my Father. I want his will. I want to honour what he wants. John 14:31. I love the Father. I do exactly what my Father has commanded me. That's why I'm here. I'm not an older brother. I'm not a younger brother. Jesus in this parable is at pains to show that the Father is a good Father. We haven't really focused on the Father yet. We will do so. But the Father is a Father who is worthy of the devotion of his sons. He deserves that his son should love him. Not just that his son should grudgingly do what dad says when he's looking. But this Father deserves the devotion, the delight, the love and the honour of his sons. Because this Father represents God. And human nature, as the parable shows, does not give to God what is his due by nature. As I said with the kids, perfect Father, yes, but what kind of children are we? Do we honour a perfect Father? Do we love a perfect Father? Do we delight in a perfect Father? For so many, even in the church, it's just about being good. It's just about being moral. It's just about being religious. And that's not it. It's not about being an older brother. It's about loving the Father. It's about being devoted to the Father. It's about delighting in the Father. There are two illusions that people have about religion. One is the illusion of the younger brother who thinks that if you're going to be a Christian, you've got to be like the older brother. And you don't want to be like that, so you don't want to be a Christian. And the other is that you think, I'm like the older brother, therefore I am a Christian. I'm the good boy. I stayed at home. I didn't rebel. I went to church. That doesn't make you a Christian. Neither of these boys delight in their father. To be a Christian is to be like Christ, is to honour the Father, is to love him, is to delight in him. It's not about conformity. It's not about religion. It's not about ritual. It's not about behaving yourself. It's about loving God. This is the first and the greatest commandment, says Jesus. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. To be a Christian is to seek the forgiveness of the Father for what is in you that made you like the younger brother or like the older brother. And is to seek to be devoted to this Father who has forgiven you and who has given you everything. Hopefully in the story the younger brother has begun this journey. He's given up on his own project of pleasing himself. The older brother hasn't begun. He's still working on his own project to please himself and to have an image of himself as the good boy. He hasn't understood that it's not about him being the good boy. It's about him loving his father. And we weep for the older brother because he's in more trouble than the younger brother. The parable teaches us the goal of living is not to be like either brother. Our pattern is Jesus. Jesus who delights in his father, who loves what the father loves. He loves what the Father does in this parable, his forgiveness, his mercy, his compassion, his justice. So I read in Luke chapter 10, Jesus said, he was full of joy through the Holy Spirit, says. So here's Jesus, he's, He's a son full of joy, and he says, I praise you, Father. Oh, Father, it's wonderful. I praise you. What you've done. You chose to reveal yourself to the children, to the simple, to the unlearned, and you chose to hide yourself from those who thought they were so clever and so wise. Father, that's wonderful. I love it because it's your pleasure. If that's what you want, Father, I love it. I delight in what you delight in. Jesus delights in his Father. That doesn't happen if we're like the older brother or like the younger brother. It doesn't happen if we just depend on human nature. Because human nature never renders delight towards God. Never renders love towards God. Human nature, as I think it was Naomi said, with the perfect Father, you try and behave yourself. Or you just turn your back and you misbehave yourself. God must come into our lives himself by his Holy Spirit to change us if we're going to start being like Jesus, loving God, delighting in him, wondering in him, being excited about him, honouring him. That's why what we need to do is make a beeline for the Father himself. Like the younger brother does when he comes to his senses. Make a beeline for the Father. Go to the Father. Go to the Father. Don't just go to church. Don't just say your prayers. Don't just read your Bible. Don't just try to be good. Don't just try and keep the traditions. Go to the Father. Go to the Father. Father, Father, I have sinned. I have sinned. Father, I'm not worthy to be called your son or your daughter. Father. And receive from God his wonderful compassion, his glorious love, his excellent forgiveness. And delight in him and in what he is to you. And in the fact that it's not because you were a good boy or a good girl. And it's not because you were religious. But it's because of his mercy. It's because of his character that you have found peace and eternal life. It's because God is who he is. When you finally give up trying to be your own savior, when you finally give up trying to run away from the savior, when you finally come to the perfect Father and receive him and delight in him, then you'll know that there is a third way. A third way that leads to life. A third way that leads to joy. A third way that is full of delight. A third way in which God, the perfect Father, is at work in your life, and in which you know him and enjoy him and delight in him. Go to God. Do not try and be something yourself to present to God. Go to God and seek that he will work in your life himself. Amen. We close singing in the Black Psalm book from Psalm 37. Psalm 37. And Psalm 37 verse 4 says, delight thyself in God. Delight thyself in God. We'll just sing verses 3 to 6. Of the Psalm. Psalm 37 verses 3 to 6. Let's stand to sing now.
Oh,
Now may the grace and mercy and peace of God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit rest upon and remain with each one of you, now and forevermore. Amen.